We appreciate that beautiful program by the young people. They've done a good job. And appreciate the children and appreciate the adults that work with them. And so we hope you enjoyed it very, very much. That last song that they sung was "I Will Rise Again." And that's the truth. And that's what Jesus said, and that's what he did. And the resurrection is fought very, very much. I understand that in the seminaries, that there's many of the seminaries that do not teach the literal resurrection, period. They don't believe that there will be a resurrection. That's sad. That's sad. If there's not another world, Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. There's a lot of disappointments in this life, regardless of what kind of life we live. There's a lot of disappointments, and there's a better world, better world. No wonder that people act and live like losers. If that's what they believe, that's what they are, I'll tell you. But I believe that there's going to be a resurrection, and Jesus is alive. And I plan to preach more about this in the next week or two, if the Lord will allow me to do so. But I want to preach to you tonight from a passage in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. A very interesting man in this chapter. Well, there's more than one. But I want to talk to you about Philip and his work in Samaria and some of the things that happened with his ministry. Verse 26 of chapter 8 of Acts. And I'll ask you to stand with me, and I want to read through the rest of the chapter from 26 through 40 in Acts chapter number 8. And read the scripture along with me, okay? And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before her shearer, open he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture, for the word of God, for the truth that we find in your word, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us tonight to say the things that you would have us to say from this scripture, that it might honor and glorify your name. And Lord, would exalt you up above everything else. And the Lord Jesus Christ, that people could see him. And Lord, if there should be one here tonight that don't know the Lord as their Savior, may the Holy Spirit touch their heart and convict them and remind them that Jesus loves them and you want to save them. You came for that purpose to this earth, to die on the cross, to take away away the sins of the world, and every person in this world has the same right to come and claim salvation as those who even when Philip preached here, we had the same right today as they had then. So we pray that you'd bless us and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about Christ. Philip preached to this man about Jesus. And notice that Philip started out with the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, a beautiful chapter. And he started out with that 53rd chapter, and he preached about Jesus 700 years or something like that before Jesus was ever born in the world. Isaiah was a great prophet. Now, that's in the King James Version, it's spelled with an E, and that's the Greek way of spelling Isaiah. And Isaias, I guess, would be the way you pronounce it, but it's talking about Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament. He's talking about the 53rd chapter, and the great things that a messianic prophecy is what the 53rd chapter is. That's what a lot of Isaiah is when we read and study his word. And so Philip began at this scripture and preach Jesus Christ. We need to hear Jesus Christ preached and taught in every age level in all the church. The babies need to hear about Christ. They need to hear about Christ. The ones in kindergarten, they need to hear about Christ. The children, as they're stepped up, as they go up, they need to hear about Christ. As they become teenagers, they need to hear about Christ. As they become adults, they need to hear about Christ. As they become middle-aged adults, they need to hear about Christ. And when they become old people, they need to hear about Christ. When we bypass teaching people about Christ, we are robbing them of the best thing that they could ever have. You remember when you teach your class, if you don't tell them children or those adults, I don't care what age they are, about Christ, you're robbing them. They need to hear that. They don't need to see the preacher or the teacher to understand how we can explain things and put them together. Tell them about Christ. Let them see Christ. That's what they need to see. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. And so they need to see Christ in us. A man's name is Philip, is the preacher, and Philip, I believe, was one of those that was chosen, I believe, as a deacon. And the church, you remember back earlier in chapter number 8, that the church at Jerusalem was scattered because of the persecution. Jesus had been put to death, and the church had been persecuted. The Apostle Paul was one of the ringleaders of that persecution. A lot of folks had died, and as a result, the church was scattered. People went out everywhere. I remember several years ago, there was some preachers from down around Kingsport. Some of them used to come over in around home over in Russell County, and Red Cross, Giles, I believe is his name. I always knew him as Red. Pastored a church over there for years and years. He grew up in that area, and Dan Graham helped a revival in Lebanon about 62-63 years ago, I guess, or maybe a little longer than that. I was just a little bitty boy, and I can remember it, that Mr. Shula Ferguson lived up above us, and he had a pickup truck with the cattle racks on it, and he would come by and pick up folks, didn't have anything set down in. They just stood up and held to the sides or to each other, whatever they could, and, you know, and that truck would be standing full. And I remember my dad would walk over to the ridge at the forks of the road and get in that truck and go out to Lebanon to the revival meeting. And Dan Graham was there for several weeks, really. He wanted to come and hold a revival. They wouldn't let him. Wanted to use the fire ground to hold a revival. They wouldn't let him. And it come a windstorm and blew a lot of things away, and a flood, and like to wash the place away. And after those two things happened, they sent him word and told him he'd come hold a revival. And I tell you right now, and a lot of folks got saved. I heard my uncle that was saved in that revival, and Red Cross was one of those men that got saved in that revival. But I heard my uncle talking about one of the old men there in Lebanon. And he was well known. I don't know of him. I can't remember him going to church. But I heard Uncle Bill say one time, and that's where he got saved. He said he could see in his mind. He could see this man that was a younger man then, but up leading the choir, leading the singing in the revival meeting. Some 12, 1,400 people got saved in that revival. A lot of preachers come out of it. A lot of good Christians. But one of these preachers was talking about a bunch of preachers that was working in one particular plant in Kingsport. And he said, you know, there was a number of them, quite a few of them that worked in that plant. And something happened and they shut that plant down. Now this was 50 years ago, I guess, or close to that, when he was talking about this, when I first started in the ministry. And I heard him make the statement, and he was one of the ones that worked there. He said he felt like that the Lord allowed that plant to set down, or to shut down rather, and get some preachers out of there and gone other places to spread the gospel. I thought that was unusual. The church, everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. If you've got an epidemic of a disease of some kind in a community, you don't want to send those people with that disease anywhere else unless you want to spread it. That's the last thing you'd want to do. So when Satan persecuted the church and got them scattered, every direction they went, they started telling people about Christ. Hey, I got something I want to talk to you about. Have you heard about the man Christ? Have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you that. I remember this fellow was talking about the church, and he was a black guy out in California, and I can't remember the name of the church now, nor his name, but he was talking about it, and he was in politics. He got saved, and God called him into ministry. And he said, I want you to start a church somewhere in the Los Angeles area. And I forgot the name of the town that he's in now. And he said, I want you to take that community for Christ. He said, Lord, how can I do that? I'm a politician. That's what I grew up in. He said, I want you to do it the same way. He said, you do it exactly the same way, only I just want you to present me. I want you to bring them to the Lord. And this man went in there and started to work. He started to work, and he would preach to people, and he got a good organization going among the people. And he said that they would have, you know, people would come in and get saved, and he was an exciting man. I've heard him preach two times. One time was his wife's funeral, and he preached a good sermon at his wife's funeral. And another time was a tape that somebody gave me, but man, now he could flat out preach, I'll tell you right now. And he said that they got in there and got this work going, and that was what he wanted them to see, was Jesus. That's what they needed to hear, was Jesus. And said that they had some neighbors, you know, over in this section of town, and said that they had this man that lived on their street, and they was trying to get him to come to church and trying to lead him to the Lord. And said that he got mad. He said, I can't take this no more. He said, I'm going to move out of this community. And he got ready to move, and some of the neighbors went down and said, brother, says, can we help you move? He said, no, sir. Said, I don't want you to help me with anything. I've had all I can take of this Jesus stuff. And he says, I'm moving. But they found out where he was going. And when he got to the place with his furniture, they'd already called some of the neighbors there, and they went up and said, brother, we're glad to have you in the community. I'm so-and-so, and I want to tell you about Jesus. That's the way they done it. That's the way they done it. They had some people that had been in the Jehovah's Witness church, and they had been converted. And one of them was a teacher in that group, but teaching them how to, you've seen these men out here visiting, riding their bicycles most of the time, is where you say they're young men. And that's where they come from, whatever they call that church. I think of it as Jehovah's Witness and maybe something else, Mormon, whatever it is. And they had this woman in the church that had trained these people and knew it inside out. And those folks, whenever anybody come to somebody's door with their literature, They were asked to invite them in and welcome them to that place and set up a meeting that they could come back and present their program there. And then they was to call the church when these people left. And this lady would meet them at that home and said they got to where when they would visit in that community, when they knocked on the door, first thing they'd want to know, do you go to such and such church? And if you went there, they didn't have nothing to do with you. Now, that's presenting Christ. You say, preacher, that's, I don't know how it might work in your life, but that's presenting Christ. Tell people about the Lord. That's what Philip did. When the church was scattered, Philip ended up down in Samaria, and he started preaching the gospel, and the whole town come to know the Lord. It seemed like it was a town-wide revival. The Holy Spirit just moved in a very, very special way. And in verse number 27, in verse 26, they had this revival, and people got right with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Philip and said, I want you to arise and go toward the south on the way to Gaza, which is desert. Now, he was asked to go out in the desert, leaving a revival that people were getting saved everywhere. Revival meeting going on every day. And when he got down in this place, he saw this man coming into church. And here was a man that had gone to church to worship, but he wasn't saved. That's sad. The first thing you need to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so this man was Ethiopian, or at least he was of Ethiopia. Don't know who it was. And a eunuch. A eunuch is talking about people that are servants, and they work. But anyhow, this man was from Ethiopia. Don't know where he grew up. It would sound like he was a Jew by going down to Jerusalem to worship. But you remember that when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach went down in Babylon, they were promoted because they were good men and trustworthy men, and they were trainable, and they used them but they were still witnesses for God. Joseph, one of the greatest names in the Bible. One of the greatest men. He was sold as a slave and went down into Egypt as a slave and ended up being second in command. And Pharaoh said, just in the throne, that's the only thing that's different in me and you. Whatever you say goes. Whatever you say about getting this food out and selling it, that's exactly what people are going to have to do. And so this man was in charge of her treasury. And he'd been to Jerusalem to worship, and he's on his way back, and he was reading the Bible as he rode along in his chariot. And the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to his heart, I'm sure. And the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to the preacher's heart, Philip. And the Spirit told Philip, says, go near and join yourself to the chariot. And he went over to where the chariot was coming down the road. He ran to him, and he heard him reading from the book of Isaiah. Evidently, he was reading audibly. Maybe he was reading to his driver. I don't know. But he was reading as he was coming down the road. And Philip went over close enough to him to talk to him. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no, sir. I don't understand what I'm reading. Did it ever happen to you? Before I got saved, when I was 19 years old, and I'd read the Bible. I got under conviction. I got in a mess. My life was, oh, brother. And I'd read the Bible. I couldn't understand it. I just couldn't make heads or tails out of it. You know, it just didn't fit for some reason or other. I couldn't understand that. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me or some man should explain it or teach it to me? He says, I can't understand it. Beautiful words, but I can't understand what he's talking about. And he was reading here, and this is about Easter. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, said, "Who is this man talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else?" And Philip says, "Let me sit with you a spell." And he started at the same scripture. Now, the New Testament wasn't written at that time. Not much of it, if any of it. It wasn't written at that time. So what he done was took the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Be well worth spending the time and memorizing every word of it. It's beautiful in its poetry, in its truth, in everything. In his presentation of Jesus Christ, oh my, and hundreds of years before he came to this earth. So he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Every sermon, every lesson ought to point back to Christ. Even singing ought to lead back to Christ. Songs need to talk about the Lord, the goodness of God. You don't have to use his name in every line, but they need to point back to the Lord. Those old songs, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That song is never outdated. I don't know how long it's been around. It was here when I can remember, for all of my life that I can remember. And it's been around a long time. It hasn't been worn out. Hey, it just sounds better every time I hear it. I mean, it just sounds wonderful. I'll tell you, it's just there. Jesus is what people need to hear about. Jesus is who people need to believe in. So he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, the eunuch said, "Here's some water." Said, "What's the reason I can't be baptized?" And Philip says, "If you believe with all of your heart, then you're ready to be baptized. It'll be fine. Just stop this chariot and we'll just get down in that water and we'll just have us an old-fashioned baptizing right out here in the middle of the desert." And I don't know where they got that water from, but out in the country where they were. And he went down in the water, him and Philip, and he baptized him. And the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And Philip just kept on preaching and made a round and preached till he got all the way back to Caesarea. Everywhere he went, he talked about Jesus. If you want to do something in this world, present Jesus Christ. Talk to people about Christ. People are down and out. They need to hear about Christ. They need to hear about Christ. Mail Trotter was a hopeless drunkard. And he lived in Michigan, I believe, somewhere up north or wherever it was. And he was a rotten to the core, as mean as they got, perhaps. His life was in shambles. His life was ruined. And one Sunday morning, he was going down to the lake to drown himself.